This isn't your grandma's cancer show.
Not your grandma's cancer show.
This is Not Your Grandma's Cancer Show. I'm Tatum Jarrock, and today we are delving into cancer scams. Both the people that fake cancer and the ones that troll us. You know, the ones selling very expensive snake oil, usually from Germany. Why is it always from Germany? And you know what? This is a time when we have enough on our plates. We're already dealing with so much and side effects and going to the hospital, and suddenly there's cancer scams on top of everything. But I have the best guest here with me today to talk about this with, and to also give you the weird and wonderful tour of cancer scams, as well as places to maybe go to get some more research and find out some more if anything has lured you or anything that you've got questions about. So I'm going to get Kynwynn to introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. I'm one of the founding directors at Shine. And it sounds terrible to say I love a good cancer scam, because obviously I don't love the scammers or the scam, but sometimes I just think they're so outrageous and amazing. I'm always up for reading a good cancer scam story.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what kind of cancer that you had and how old you were when you had it.
Sure. So I was 34, and I was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And that kind of brought me to thinking about this gap in support for younger adults with cancer. But I do remember being in the hospital, and someone that my mom knew told her that there was a herb that I could take, which would prevent all my hair from falling out. And people wanted to know if I was interested in that. And I remember thinking, one, that probably doesn't work. And two, if it did work, if we're trying to get rid of all the cancer I have in my body, do I need my hair? Maybe I'll just give that one a miss. But so they start to hit you up early, these scammers, I think.
Right. And, you know, who doesn't want to keep their hair at that point? Like, that's the
Absolutely.
Thing. Like, you're so open to this kind of thing. I actually got given this pickled ginger. Highly potent, and I ate it for, like, I didn't know what it was. I don't even know who gave it to me. I think it was a nurse or something gave it to me. It was so disgusting, and let me tell you, vomiting after chemo, pickled ginger, not cool. Not cool.
That's making me want to vomit right now.
Yeah. And also, we've got Claire with us, and we're all on Zoom today. So, Claire, tell us about yourself.
Oh, hi. I'm Claire. God, I've been around Shine for forever, haven't I? Like, I joined Shine as a member because I'd had Ewing's osteosarcoma when I was in my late teens to early 20s. But the fallout from that physically and psychologically has been really long term. So I kind of hung around the cancer support scene and found this amazing charity. And over the years, I've kind of done more and more until I've bageled my way into it fully. And mm-hmm. So I now do some of their programs with them, and yeah, it's great stuff. And like Kynwynn, I mean, it does feel not okay to say that you love a scam, but it is, there's something fascinating about the people behind them and mm-hmm. the psychology that goes on for people when they kind of make this stuff up. And
yeah.
Similarly, like I also was given a little box of crystals, which when I was diagnosed by someone who had treatment themselves and said they'd cured it through crystals, and I was like, I mean, and the chemotherapy you had, right? Like, not just the crystals.
So yeah, they never mention that, do they?
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me that all three of us have our own, you know, real experiences of that up front.
And have you met someone that's lied about having cancer? Have you met a cancer faker?
I have come across a cancer faker. Kind of, you know, through someone I knew. So I didn't know them well, but yeah, somebody who I think thought that their partner was going to break up with them. And so they thought, oh, well, they won't break up with me if I say I have cancer. But you know, it's a tricky one to pull off, isn't it? Because Ooh. If you say, don't leave me, I'm dying of cancer. And then, you know, you don't die. It doesn't work out well for anybody.
No.
And so, yeah, they were definitely exposed, and I think it caused a lot of problems. It's not an easy lie to pull off, I don't think.
No. And I mean, there's so many things about that. And especially because we know that actually a lot of people's relationships do break down when somebody actually has cancer. That, like, if I wanted to keep someone, I wouldn't be saying I had cancer. Like, I would think of another lie.
That's a good point, actually.
Right?
Very good point.
Because some people run for the hills at that point. Yeah. Mm. Oh. And what about you, Claire?
I do as well. I knew someone when I was younger who... It wasn't because of kind of as explicit as saying I have cancer, but who started getting lots of symptoms and then was saying that he was having lots of treatment and that he'd found a tumor. And, you know, it was going down that route. And like you say, kind of like the level of work involved in creating that myth and the story, like there were documentation, there were like fake trips to hospital, there were people dropping them off at the hospital appointments waiting around, and obviously they weren't going to them, but it's huge. And I mean, obviously there's a lot going on for that person, right? Like it's kind of, there's something going on that needs support. It's just not cancer, right?
I think it's tough if you know if you do have experience of cancer and then you want to provide support to them and then you find out that actually they don't have cancer. That's really upsetting and disturbing to everyone else then too, because you sort of feel like you've put your time and effort into supporting someone when it hasn't been real. And that's really tough.
Yeah. And I think it affects us in quite a lot of different ways. So I thought, oh, well, maybe I know one person that's faked having cancer. When I sat down to think about it, I got to about 5. There was like a guy that I knew growing up who said that he had terminal testicular cancer. Somebody else that got like a really bizarre, maybe outside of the mainstream diagnosis. I had someone else saying that she had the same kind of cancer as my mom, who turned out to be a con artist. I knew someone else who, she didn't do it to me, but she had this big scar, and she would claim that the scar was anything that was related to the person that she was trying to get in with. So if she made you her best friend and you had cancer, then she had cancer. If she made you her best friend but you had been assaulted, then she got it from an assault. So she had been stabbed, she had like all these different things.
She'd really been through the mill, hey?
Yeah. On that one spot. I mean, it was a significant scar. I mean, it was a good scar, like, you know, probably had a great story, but she would change it. And actually, I was thinking, I went into like a new group of friends once, and I was a periphery person, but I said something about cancer, and I felt this like weirdness just for a millisecond. And it turned out that the group had just been scammed by someone saying they had cancer. And I was like, oh, I can show you my radiation tattoos if that helps. do you want to see my... And they were like, no, it's good. We're just letting you know, that just happened. And so I think that sometimes, even subconsciously, because there are some people faking it, that filters into the community of people that really have it. You know, do you look enough like a cancer patient? When someone says, oh, you look really well, do you ever feel like they're doubting it? Claire, have you ever felt someone doubt you?
I think it's a sensitivity on my part rather than really believing that they don't believe me.
Mm.
But even the fact that that's in your head,
yeah,
that there's an element that you think, oh, well, do I have to prove myself? And definitely I do. Like, I mean, my cancer and conditions, you know, certainly my conditions now are invisible, and there is an element of people go, but you look great, and you think, are you saying I look not ill enough to complain about my illness, or are you saying, you know, you think I should be doing more than I'm doing because I look okay to do it? So there's a lot, it just adds a lot to your psyche, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That you sort of carry with you, I think, when you know this stuff goes on out there.
And I think also, I mean, I don't know that I've experienced that. Probably I just looked so terrible when I was having treatment. People, there was no question there was something very wrong with me. But I do know people who, like, say particularly maybe you've got bowel cancer, you've been having treatment and your hair doesn't fall out.
Right.
And and then they've experienced people kind of saying to them, well, do you really have cancer? Or, you know, kind of that, like, well, how sick are you if you haven't lost your hair? Because actually what the kind of common conception is that you have cancer and your cancer treatment will mean you're bald. And that's how we all know you're sick. And so when you don't fit that, then I think people are suspicious and maybe not even thinking, I mean, I don't know what they think. They might not think necessarily you're full on faking cancer, but maybe just that you're not quite as sick as you're making out to be.
Right.
And that can be really tough because, you know, the vast 99.999% of people would never claim to have an illness that they don't have, just because, yeah. I mean, that's bad karma.
Yeah. It's super bad karma. It's just the worst. Yeah. It's